Hey Sam, should we do like big fanfare and stuff for the award show?
Yeah, just like we always do.
Just like we always do,
Yeah,
should I do like a...
should you do the thing that we usually do? Yes.
Okay, I forgot what I... Is there a thing I normally say?
No, we go straight into it with high energy.
Okay. Hello, welcome to the Video Shop Podcast. Should I stop
Did you put this much energy into
recording?
the cupcake awards you did with Bob, Cal?
I mean, Bob did the big over the top fanfare voice for that one.
I see. So you didn't even use all your energy there. You just
I
don't
used
fucking
none of
care
it.
about you just don't care about our show anymore,
Is this
Cal.
how we're starting? Am I?
Yeah, this is the start now. This is what you've done.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to what? How many are you up to? How many of these have we done now, Sam?
Well, we st I think the first one we did was for 2015, which is the year we started doing the podcast. So, and we have done an awards for every year since. So this is 21. So would this be the sixth one? Is that
This
how
is the
maths work?
sixth annual Muffin Awards. Why do I ask these questions that just make me feel bad?
I
Fuck.
don't know. I don't know.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the sixth annual Muffin Awards, the only award show that matters on the internet. I'm your host, Cal.
Correct. You heard that, Bob. It came from Cal's mouth. I'm not salty. You're salty.
This is Sam the Salt Man. He's putting salt in all the popcorn.
We've got nominations from a bunch of our regulars. We've got Brianne, we've got Matt, we got Bob, and we got Riley, and you and me. So, Cal, you know how I
We are
spent
pretty
like
regular.
ages, I spent ages getting up all the notes for the
Yeah.
awards? Didn't get my own
Yep.
up.
Who's a dumb bum now, Sam?
Well, it's still you, but I am not a dumb bum.
I have conveniently three fingers swiped over to mine, so they're all here. I was ready to go.
Oh, don't you love the three-finger swipe? How
Dude.
good's it?
Dude. Like, because there's some... Brief tangent. How fucking terrible. You should be able to just click and drag your windows to one side to like dock them so you can like have them side by side. Instead, you gotta let go and you gotta like click and hold on the green button, and it only works with some apps, not all of them.
Yeah.
But the three finger swipe is pretty sick.
Yeah. No, that is one tiny limitation that is a little annoying, but I assume at some point it'll get fixed
Well, it's a
because
thing
it's
you
because
can
it's
buy in the App Store. It costs you like $12 though.
Yeah, so it's a
It's
third
like,
party software. Apple will
yeah.
eventually build that software in because that's what they always do. It'll
It's
just
been a
take time.
standard since like Windows Vista.
Yeah, I know. I know. Shall we dish up some nominations? Because we
Yeah.
got a lot of nominations, and we've got less awards though, so hopefully this won't blow out to a ridiculously long episode,
It's 'cause
like the awards usually are. We
did we
did,
post the
yes.
actual things so people
Yes, we
actually
did.
have the right ones? So if
Correct.
anybody's got the wrong ones or ones that we're not doing anymore, we can just call them a big dumb bum and move on.
Correct.
Cool. All right.
The
Saving that for...
first nominations I got from Brianne for oh the award is Most Disappointing Movie. We start on a low note, don't we?
I kind of don't, like, we've got to end on a high note though, so we've got to start on a low note.
Yeah,
That's just how it works.
we just go straight up in like a line.
That's how music works. It just keeps
Yes.
getting
Keep
louder and
building.
higher pitched, and yeah, that's
I
how it
read the
works.
news today. Oh boy.
Oh
Anyway,
boy. Oh
so
boy.
Brianne's nominations for most disappointing movie. She's got a couple in here, but the main ones are News of the World,
Okay,
Love
don't
and
know what that
Monsters,
is.
Good on Paper,
Ooh.
and Reminiscence. I don't think I agree with Love and Monsters. News of the World was fucking boring.
I don't know. I don't even know
And
what
Good
News of the
on
World
Paper.
is.
News of the World is stars Tom Hanks. It's beautiful. It's Tom Hanks goes across America reading news to communities that otherwise wouldn't have a way of getting information. So it's kind of an interesting thing that used to happen. Like literally a dude would ride between communities and read the news. He'd take
Yeah.
newspapers with him, and that's how people got their information.
Right, they'd be like a town crier, but for
everywhere. And Tom Hanks is obviously great, and it's a cool premise, and it looks visually stunning. It's mind-numbingly boring.
It's just so boring. Enough.
And it feels disconnected, because every town they tell a new story.
Yeah.
Which I guess is kind of the idea, but it makes it feel like the movie's not about anything.
Yeah. Yeah, like if it was about telling, like, the same bad news to a whole bunch of different people, seeing how they respond, like, that could have been fun.
But there's elements of that, but yeah,
we do not have time.
I have noted that Brianne's actual nomination is the movie Good on Paper, which was a movie by Liza Schlesinger, the stand-up comedian, who is very funny as a stand-up comedian. She wrote, I think, maybe even directed this movie, maybe just wrote it. It's terrible. It's just funny. It reminded me, like, because I'm pretty sure the movie has some situations that she spoke about in her stand-up. Did you ever watch Stephen Merchant's, ladies something stand-up show?
No.
Very funny. He made it into a show, a TV show, and it was terrible. Because sometimes stories are better told as stories and not shown to us, because I'm like, oh God, this is an uncomfortable situation.
Well, anyway. plenty of stories work better when you fill in all the blanks in your own head.
Yeah.
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 But yeah, we should absolutely move on, because this episode's going to be a fat boy.
Next most disappointing nomination is Bobby, who has nominated Black Widow. The actors are fantastic and give it their all, but somewhere in the editing process, the soul got buffed out of the film. At least for me, anyway, your mileage may vary. I forgot Bob always leaves a description.
I didn't have Black Widow on my shortlist.
Neither. That's the thing. Like, I like Black Widow just fine, too, I think. Like, I wasn't disappointed by it.
But in hindsight, it sort of has hype just from being a movie that should have come out like a decade ago.
Yeah.
And the fact that it is fine, but it's disappointing because I'm disappointed in Marvel for not just doing it sooner.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that
I know Bob's a lot colder on this than we are.
I was going to say, from that perspective, I like the movie just fine. You're right. I'm disappointed it didn't come out sooner, if anything.
Hmm.
I think it's pretty good. I'd watch it again.
I have watched it since.
Yeah, well, there you go.
In hindsight, it does feel a lot like, hey, now I'm blanking on the actress's name.
Scarlett Johansson.
Hey, ScarJo, get fucked. We've hired somebody better than you. She's going to take your role now. And she's going to be more likable and more funny, and she's not going to sue us. So...
yeah, even though all that happened after the
movie. I know, right? But that's what it feels like now, and it doesn't make any sense.
The movie also just feels... it's just a little too late. We're like, Marvel, you know you should have made this movie years ago. To the point you said it years ago.
That they used a villain like Taskmaster, who's a really cool villain.
Yeah.
And now they're used up. Like, if we're going to have a Taskmaster, exist in other media... they have to be another character now.
Yeah, and that's fine. This version of Taskmaster wasn't much like the comics anyway.
They could have just used some other villain that nobody cared about.
They must have no plans for Taskmaster, though. I also, Taskmaster is, I'm not sure how dangerous they feel in this version of the Marvel Universe.
Yeah, because they're not at all.
I'm like, great, you can replicate Black Panther's claw stance. Thor's
going to
hit
thing,
you
man.
With his hammer now.
It's all about the pose in this bloody movie. On watching it again, I stand by that they don't actually fight like anybody in particular. They might pull off a couple of moves, but mostly it's just kung fu, and then they pose like somebody.
Yeah, that's the biggest letdown with... that's the disappointing part about...
That's the disappointing part about the MCU, damn it. They hand it off to their action team, who does all the kung fu bits, and everybody fights the same.
Kung fu bit in Shang-Chi was good. I like that
stuff. Oh, dude, we will get to Shang-Chi.
Riley has two nominations for most disappointing movie, one of which was Paranormal Activity Next of Kin. It's 2021. Okay. Another Paranormal Activity movie came out.
How are they still coming
out? How and why?
Who did this? Also, who's responsible?
I am disappointed to see Freaky, though. Do you know Freaky? It's the one where Vincent Vaughn?
Vince Vaughn. Yeah.
Vince Vaughn. Why did I say Vincent? That sounds weird. Vince Vaughn is a murdering serial killer who murders a teenage girl and they swap bodies.
Yes. Yeah, I've seen
I love a body swap movie. For
that. Body swap's looked, great, man.
And it magical looked like kind of happy. It looked kind of like Happy Death Day.
Yeah, but Vince Vaughn does what he does best and just looks like a man who wants to kill everybody.
Yeah, and then looks like a little girl. So that's disappointing. Enough. I had high hopes for that one, but
well, that's the thing though, man. Hopes got too high.
It was disappointing because of that. Riley.
Got to bottle that shit up. Can't let your feelings run wild.
Oh my god. Matt's given me an essay.
Oh no.
Look, like, Matt, I'm so sorry. Like, if you'd had like a couple of sentences, I would have read it. This is too much, man.
I feel bad because we went off on tangents about other shit, but that's exactly why we can't cover it.
Yeah. Anyway, most disappointing movie is Dear Evan Hansen.
I have heard that's bad. I've not heard that it was a thing until I started doing research for this episode.
Apparently, the CGI de-aging effect doesn't look good. I haven't seen it. I'm sorry, Matt, so I don't have much to say on it.
I imagine that's really expensive.
Yeah, yeah. What's your nomination for most disappointing movie, Cal?
I jokingly had Spider-Man on here because nothing could possibly have lived
spoilers
up to the hype.
Spoilers for all movies in 2021.
Yeah, spoilers for everything.
I feel like spoilers for everything.
Spoilers for life.
And then, but then it actually did live up to the hype and surpassed it in some ways.
It kind of did, yeah. Like, yeah, there were some ways that it didn't, but like,
name
the joke...
one.
All right, fuck you then. Put me on the spot like that, you bastard.
Yeah. Because you don't have one. Because you're full of shit, Cal.
Well, because the disappointing part is that there was basically no point Sandman or Lizard being in this movie. Yes. And that they didn't actually assemble the Sinister Six. Nando's pitch of old mate J. Jonah Jameson labeling them all the Sinister Six with Spider-Man as the sixth person.
Yeah, but I'm also fine that they didn't, because what they were doing instead was, I think, more interesting. Oh,
totally. But yeah, that's my joke pitch. My real pitch is Space Jam 2.
Oh, yeah.
Because, because I knew that it wasn't going to be great. I knew that the first one wasn't particularly good and that it's mostly an
ad.
Hey,
Mom, can we have the Joker? We've got the Joker at home.
Yeah, that is sort of what it felt like. Because it was this ad, but it made everything look so cheap and nasty that it's who would buy this? And then it's like, what's the product? HBO Max? I can't buy that. I'm not allowed to buy that. Fuck you.
Remember when Bugs Bunny died and then LeBron James goes crazy and imagines his dead friend for the rest of his life? Spoilers for 2021.
Remember when Zendaya in any given year was like five different people's like dream girl love interest, like adult sexual fantasy, and Lola Bunny and a teenage girl from Queens? Like, Space Jam 2, Spider-Man, and all of the rest of the movies that have Zendaya in them just make me confused about how I should feel about this person. Like, who are you supposed to be getting typecast as?
I love Zendaya, and she's not typecast. That's what's so enjoyable.
That's the
about
thing,
her.
Though, but she's not even typecast as somebody her age.
No, because sometimes she's a rabbit. I'm gonna say what I said in the review, and all Space Jam movies are bad. None of them hold a candle to Looney Tunes back in action.
Correct. Spy Jam is the best Space Jam movie.
Do you have any other noms?
Look, I wasn't particularly enamored with Godzilla vs. Kong.
Yeah, I wouldn't say it was the most disappointing, though.
I don't think I had much hype for this year because I was expecting nothing to come out. I was expecting it to just be 2020 again.
I, my nomination for most disappointing movie is Army of the Dead.
Ooh, okay.
And I'll tell you why.
Yeah, go for it.
I was like, a Zack Snyder zombie movie, it won't be great, but it'll probably be fun. And somehow it was disappointing from that level of expectation.
Look, I would generally disagree. I think it was sort of okay, but...
Remember the bit with the baby?
Yeah.
Bad.
Well, see, the thing is that, like...
Remember the bit with the rain? Where the rain came and all the zombies were resurrected by the rain? Remember that bit, Cal?
No, because that didn't happen.
Exactly.
They said it was going to.
Disappointing.
Look, you know, like, as far as unfired Chekhov's guns go, this movie is full of them.
It is, yeah.
But yeah, I guess I just... Like, because it's not even Dave Bautista's best performance by any stretch. I guess my argument for why Space Jam is worse, is more disappointing, is that, like, if it's going to be an ad, right? Like, we watched a few movies that are ads this year. And this is an ad for a product I'm not even allowed to buy. Like, that's the thing that's disappointing. It's like, if this could have been a good ad for a good product that I might have been able to buy, and it was none of those things. It was a bad ad for a bad product I'm not allowed to buy. So what the fuck was I doing?
Yeah. So just for the record, I'm very happy to give this to Space Jam. Army of the Dead was it for me. I also agree with a lot of these nominations. I don't agree with you at all, Bob. Riley, I haven't seen either of the movies, but I'm disappointed by Freaky. And Matt, I haven't seen Dear Evan Hansen. Good on Paper was immensely disappointing. But Space Jam is fine. I'm happy to give it a disappointing nom or award.
Fair enough. I am happy with that too. There were quite a few movies this year that were like bad. And that ended up sort of on my short list, but none that were any more disappointing than that.
I was going to say, the thing is, I wasn't that disappointed by Space Jam. I thought it was going to be bad. And I guess I thought it was going to be bad and it was somehow worse than I imagined. So I guess it also qualifies under the Army of Darkness, Army of the Dead rule.
Yeah, because I didn't mind Army of the Dead to the point where I will probably watch the prequel movie that I think is already out.
It is out, and I will not.
And, like, I was totally fine with the characters. Like, that bit where it's like, hey, what if we're in a time loop and those skeletons over there are us and we just don't know it yet? Like, there are little bits like that that were kind of fun, but it was also like, yeah, this is a setup to a payoff I'm not going to get.
Yeah, they just described a more interesting movie.
Yeah, let me
they
watch
do that
movie,
so
please.
Many times. That's why it's the most disappointing movie, Cal.
yeah, fair enough.
But Space Jam, we're giving Space Jam it?
Yeah, I'm happy with that.
All right. Your muffin is in the mail, Space Jam, A New Legacy.
HBO Max.
We assume you want a carrot cake muffin.
Fuck you, man. Carrot cake's awesome.
No. It's for bugs.
Oh, I get it. That's a good joke. God damn. That's a much better... I thought you were just like, ugh, carrot cake.
No. I'm trying to be courteous to Bugs Bunny, because he's had a rough run.
I mean, he's dead, so...
Yeah, exactly. That's why it's been rough. So it's got to be a ghost carrot cake. I don't know how to make that. I suppose I make a carrot cake and then I kill it. But you've got to kill it while it has unfinished business. Now, God, what would a cake's unfinished
Casper
business
rules.
Be? Yeah, it hasn't been eaten. No, it hasn't been eaten yet. So as soon so as long as I kill it without it being eaten, done. Cool. I'll shoot it with a bullet. Most surprising movie nomination.
Most surprising movie nomination goes to that movie that's a somewhat spin-off / sequel of Casper the Friendly Ghost about a ghost muffin.
Most surprising, Brianne has put Red Notice, Flora and Ulysses.
Okay.
Zack Snyder's Justice League. And and her pick, her official nomination is Clifford the Big Red Dog.
Okay. Having not seen Clifford, I think we should... Just because I genuinely want to see Clifford. I think we need to...
Well, Briannuary has dictated we're going to see Clifford and do a podcast on it, so...
Sick. Well, then no spoilers. Episode's coming up in, like, a couple of weeks.
Bob's most surprising. Cal, you're not going to be happy with Bob.
Okay.
Godzilla versus Kong. But here's the thing. Bob says I got exactly what I wanted out of this movie. That means it's not surprising. It means it's exactly what you expected. Dumb idiot, Bob.
fair enough.
This is what happens when you live on cupcakes and not healthy muffins.
God damn. Because the other thing, the thing about Godzilla vs. Kong is, if you compare it to King of the Monsters, I really like King of the Monsters a lot more than Godzilla vs. Kong.
Yeah, but you're fucked too.
But Godzilla vs. Kong delivers something very, very different. So I can sort of see what, like, if you were expecting King of the Monsters again.
Yeah.
I can see how you'd expect something different. But if you were expecting Journey to the Center of the Earth by way of giant fucking apes, that's not bad.
Bob does put a funny note on it, though. He said, how is this everything that Batman vs. Superman should have been, and yet its two main characters can barely communicate?
That's very funny. Sorry, I was taking a drink of water.
Just went dead silent for me. The audience, because I'll truncate silence, but the audience won't know how long you left me hanging there with no reaction. Or Bob, more so. It's all right. It's okay. I really liked Godzilla vs. Kong, but I wasn't surprised. If anything, I'm with you. I was not disappointed, but, like, Kong Skull Island's still the best one.
Well, because the thing about leaning into the silliness in a movie like this, because it is silly, like, the whole thing is silly.
Very silly, yeah.
And King of the Monsters was silly, but part of the reason why I could feel like these two giant fire-breathing dragon things fighting each other in a city was any cool... like, what was cool in any way, is because they sort of took it seriously. Like, if you go, haha, dragons fighting, this is all dumb. What if the ape has, like, a big axe now, and he's just, like, suplexing things? Like, wouldn't that be funny? And it's like, oh, no, because this is... when you make it silly, it's like, well, now there's no stakes. Now nothing is... now, like, the impact of everything doesn't matter. Like, they're not fighting in a city anymore. They're fighting in a cardboard cutout of a city.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, that's what lost it for me.
It's a homage to the originals, Cal.
Look, if it was, that'd be sick. If it was actually, like, dudes in rubber suits, but, like, really fucking good rubber suits, and they were kicking the shit out of each other, that'd be fun as fuck. But it wasn't that.
Imagine if they did it for just, like, one shot. Like, one shot to dude. Do you remember the Thunderbirds movie?
Yeah. Well, no. I remember the Thunderbirds. I didn't see the movie.
The live-action movie.
No, I didn't see it.
I mean, it's bad. Like, it is... the thing is, it's a disappointing movie because the actual visuals, like the upgraded design, the real depictions of all the vehicles, fucking so sick. The story's just straight up poo and they miscast everyone. not everyone, that's not fair. Bill Paxton's the dad. That's pretty good. But... there's one shot, because I don't know if you remember in the original Thunderbirds show, obviously they're puppets, but when you had close-ups on their hands, it'd be real hands doing something, like filmed real hands in a
physical
environment.
Yeah.
So there's one shot in the live-action movie where the character moves their hand to to one of the big levers to make the ship go, and it's a close-up on the hand and it's a puppet hand.
It's very funny.
So
that
funny.
That might be the best joke put to cinema.
And it's subtle enough, you might not notice it on a first watch through.
Oh,
it's
that's
so
very
good.
Funny.
It's very funny.
Holy shit, I might have to watch this. Because, like, Thunderbirds, like, the TV show at the moment is pretty good.
Yeah.
Like, where they've got, like, these, like, CGI characters, but all the sets are real.
In the physical. Like, so it's a smart evolution.
It's so weird, like, when the genre of Thunderbirds is mixed media, like, that's that sticks.
I'll tell you one thing. It may be dumb, the live-action movie. It is fun at times, though. It does it does start to bridge into, like, so dumb it's fun.
So how's
I'll watch
this
it with
surprise?
You, Cal. Let's watch Thunderbird. Let's do a Thunderbird episode. Anyway, we should keep going on
I would need to watch so much.
Me too. we could just watch, like... a couple of the movies, because they made a bunch of movies.
Here's a surprise, right?
Yeah.
The most surprising muffin just goes to Thunderbirds.
Yeah. This movie from 2006.
it can't do that.
No. Riley's most surprising movie nominations are a movie called Wrong Turn, which I don't know. Do you know that?
That's the That's the episode where the doctor dies.
Yes. Yeah, that must be it.
That's not it.
No, because yeah, it says 2021. Sorry, Riley. Don't know Wrong Turn. And No Time to Die, which I was also super surprised by.
Look, I'll take that. That was on my shortlist.
Same.
Yeah.
Well, we've got most surprising movie from Matt, who has put Zack Snyder's Justice League. There are a couple of reoccurring movies on this list. his first line is, "This should have made Batman vs. Superman look like a masterpiece." This should have made Batman... Wait a second. That makes it sound like it didn't. Oh, no, because... it makes sense. I'm getting myself turned around. He's also put an honorable mention, though, which says, No Time to Die, probably the best Bond movie from Daniel Craig's era and a good send-off for him. I think Casino Royale's probably still better, but I agree with the sentiment.
Fair enough.
What did you have?
On my shortlist, it did have Snyder Cut and No Time to Die.
Same.
I had an honorable mention of Willy's Wonderland, just because... A knockoff Five Nights at Freddy's movie starring Nicolas Cage is fucking surprising in itself. And then when I watched it and it was nothing like what I was expecting, like as far as just the literal interpretation of surprise,
you were surprised with how bad
it was? I
was
literally very surprised. It wasn't good. But I was literally very surprised.
Mate, so bad. My honorable mentions... I had Fear Street 1666. That's mostly on there because I thought for sure that would be my least favorite one. I hate medieval witch stuff. And it was my favorite of the Fear Street trilogy. So I was super surprised that...
Because it went back to the 90s, I guess. It sort of...
Yeah, but the 90s one was my least favorite of the three. So
I
it's
know,
just,
right?
Like,
the second one was the best.
Yeah, it completely subverted kind of my expectation. I really love that trilogy. It's not going to get many noms, but it's going to get some honorable mentions from me because they were, I thought they were really solid, like fun horror trilogy. And you don't get many good horror trilogies. Usually you'll get a good Conjuring and then you get The Conjuring 2 and a million Annabelle movies. But here's a done trilogy and the first one's the weakest. Like that's unreal. That doesn't happen in horror.
Or you get like Halloween and then Halloween and then Halloween Kills.
And then you kill yourself because you just watch Halloween Kills.
Because you agree, evil dies tonight.
Yeah, evil dies tonight. And I'm evil? Because that's... Because I'm the evil. So I die tonight?
We can't go on this tangent.
I also had an honorable mention of Cruella, which had so much fun watching. I know there's some dumb bits... But I thought the cast were just so charismatic to watch. And I liked all the fashion show stuff. I was like, this is so fun. I'm here for it.
Dude, I read Cruella on my list of movies. And my brain refused to make any connections about anything that happened in that film. As soon as you said, I had a lot of fun watching it and the characters were good. My brain went, oh yeah, the actors who played Horace and Jasper were really good. And all the fashion stuff was really good. Man, why did I just completely... wipe this movie from my memory banks.
Emma Stone's always pretty great. That bit where she lights the dress on fire, it's sick.
Dude,
she builds like these bugs into the dress so that it like
so
hatches
funny.
At the right time.
Very good.
Puts on a rock show.
If this was some kind of weird prequel to like Devil Wears Prada or something, I haven't seen Devil Wears Prada, so maybe that's way off, but if it wasn't a Cruella de Vil movie...
It's probably the worst part about it, but I'm also totally fine. I guess I'm not that attached to the character of Cruella that I'm like, whatever. And if you're going to make a Maleficent movie where Maleficent's... Like, this just goes hand in hand with the, like, they're the bad guy, but they're misunderstood genre of films that we get now. And that's fine.
That Disney loves to make, apparently.
Yeah, I mean, and so does, like, DC, the Joker's that.
Yeah, pretty much, yeah.
What's gonna be what's the front runner though? I feel
have you actually said your nomination?
My nomination was Zack Snyder's Justice League, but you know what? My official nomination is gonna be Fear Street 66. I've decided this now.
All right, I will mark that as an official nomination. Man, this is a crowded party, man. This is a good mm-hmm. list.
It's like, good that the surprising movies are outweighing the disappointing ones this year.
Because, like, okay, well, I'm just going to quickly flip through my whole surprise sure. list, right? The joke one was Eternals because it had a sex scene. Venom 2 was just better than I was expecting mm-hmm. it to be.
Yep.
Mortal Kombat was way better than I was expecting it to be. I was expecting it to just be flat out bad.
Yeah, no, I quite enjoyed the Mortal Kombat movie. Forgot it came out.
Fun and dumb. No Time to Die was just infinitely better than the previous couple of James Bond movies, so that was surprising. And then I had Free Guy was my actual nomination.
Oh, yeah. Because
I was just expecting that to be fucking terrible, man.
And it was surprisingly so good.
I watched it again the other day, and yeah, it holds up. It's just really good. And that lead actress's performance is just stunning. Like, it's just stellar. And it's just such a shitty premise. It's just such a terrible idea for a movie.
So dumb.
But they nailed it.
It works. Yeah. Yeah.
So that was my official nomination.
It's a good one.
But honestly, I could be swayed on Snyder Cut, and I could be swayed on No Time to Die.
Look.
And I could be swayed on fucking Cruella, damn it.
I think, like, I know we get all these nominations and just ignore everyone. But Brianne nominated Snyder Cut. Riley nominated No Time to Die and Matt nominated Snyder Cut. So and the honorable mention No Time to Die. So I feel like one of those has to get it through the rule.
Snyder Cut or No Time to Die.
Yeah. The fact that so many people put those two forward feels like it's got to be one of them.
I'm kind of okay with that. And my heart says give it to Snyder Cut because there's no reason that should have been any good.
Because
it's not even just like the next movie in the series happened to be better than the previous ones, like James Bond.
It's like a remade movie.
Yeah. And it's 4 fucking hours long.
Yeah, it's got to be Snyder Cut, doesn't it?
I think it does, man. Like, as far as cultural touchstone shit goes. But like...
The thing is...
In my heart, it's Cruella.
Cruella. Like...
It's not. Because as soon as I said that, I'm like, yeah, but Free Guy...
No Time to Die, though. That bit where she, like, where that bit where I think she's going to do the Marvel head whip around him and she just KOs him in the chest with her heel.
Just poof! Breaks his sternum. And, like, just that whole... Okay,
it's a real toss-up between No Time to Die and Snyder Cut. But I think it has to be Snyder Cut just because... In saying that, we say the cards were stacked against it, but
it. Like, because the thing about it was that, it was something that, like, the format is terrible. 4 hours long. There's no fucking way I'm going to sit through that. I've already seen half of this movie, and it wasn't good the first time. Like, every single thing was making me think there's no way, and I'm only watching this because I kind of have to.
And then I actually had
a good time.
Brianna and I were going to originally watch it like a show and just watch a single part, maybe, and then, like, watch it across a week. We finished it in a night. That.
Yeah.
Because it was so kind of engaging, surprisingly.
It's
got to be Snyder Cut. I really wanted to get, like, No Time to Die is a real close second, and obviously Cruella and Free Guy tied for third.
Yeah, I think so, yeah. Which is saying something, man, because Free Guy is a much better movie than I think all of these. But anyway,
that's not the category, Cal. It's most surprising movie.
Correct.
And I think it's Snyder's Cut. I'm very upset that Snyder... At the start of this year, imagine if we'd told the other...
Like, oh, no fucking Snyder
Cut's,
way.
Snyder Cut's going to be the most surprising movie of the year, mate. I would have gone, shut up.
But okay, like, if I had gone back and I'd have told myself Snyder Cut's going to win best, I'd have fucking punched myself in the throat and gone, shut the fuck up, you big dumb bum. You're not. That's not true. Anyway... It's good. And I'm not saying it's on my list, but yeah, it's way better than it deserved to be.
Mm-hmm. So what type of muffin is Zack Snyder's Justice League going to get?
Well, it's got to be a whole cake in the shape of a muffin. It's going to be like a 4 hour long muffin.
Yes, but it's multiple, it's multiple mixtures. It's not one mixture.
It's like layered on in like 4 parts. eight parts, however many parts it had.
It's three different muffins shaped like cubes, and they're all a different, one's a vanilla cake, one's a chocolate cake, and one's like rhubarb or whatever.
And if you eat them all at the same time, the anti-life equation kills everybody.
You'll get an upset tummy.
One or the other, don't risk it.
Best moment nominations, baby, let's go!
Boy.
Brianne's nomination is... she's got a couple of honourable mentions. The conversation about the vest in Black Widow. Dwayne Johnson calling Emily Blunt pants in Jungle Cruise. The cameo in Free Guy, which is honestly a pretty good one.
Yeah.
And then Dog Pig, Loaf of Bread from Mitchell's vs. the Machines is her main nomination.
I forgot about the Loaf of Bread bit. God damn it. Dog Pig,
it's so cute.
It's very funny.
Dog Pig, Loaf of Bread.
Man, I'm surprised that Mitchell's vs. Machines didn't get a mention in the last category.
Most surprised. But the thing is, I kind of thought it'd be good. I loved it. It is. There's just so much, and I focus more on my personal surprise rather than quality of film.
Yeah, fair enough. That is entirely the point of that thing.
Best moment. Bob also has an honorable mention. It's the "fuck this guy" from Venom 2, where he eats
Carnage.
Is that the bit where he eats Carnage? Yeah,
it's the bit where he eats.
Yeah, eats his head.
Cletus Cassidy.
Yeah.
He's already eaten Carnage.
Yes, that's right, yeah. And he's also put spoilers for No Way Home. He's put Eddie Brock's post-credit scene in No Way Home, which honestly, of everything in that movie, not the best moment.
No, way not.
And then Bob has put, it's such a great troll after the post-credit scene from Venom 2. Also, I think it's like a combined best moment from two movies.
Yeah, that doesn't make sense. Yes. That kind of makes sense.
Yeah. His actual nomination is Bo Burnham's Inside. Apparently the whole thing. The moment you realize... I'll read his note for this because he's just put the whole movie.
Yeah.
The moment you realize that at some point this went from being a fun little joyride to a dark, grim, distressing expression of what our lives were like, and to an extent maybe again during the lockdown times, and the Bo Burnham's pain and steady descent into madness is far too relatable. So the moment you realize that is his nomination for best moment. On a side note, if you want to experience emotional whiplash once you've finished, watch Inside. All right. I'm going to read that again. On a side note, if you want to experience emotional whiplash once you've finished watching Inside, immediately start watching it again.
Yeah. Yeah, you haven't seen this, have you?
I have not. I've been meaning to.
We'll try and make this quick, and I'll try and not just ruin it for you. But, yeah, it is about just, this, optimistic, sort of funny, happy person going into lockdown for the first time and going, I'm going to get a lot of work done. I'm going to get this movie made, my Netflix special that I've agreed to do, and then you just watch this person just collapse, just fail on an emotional level at dealing with any of it, and it's fucked, man. And it's like I'm overselling it. Yeah,
I've wrote a book in lockdown. I thought that was I was pretty happy with that accomplishment, but then people are like, I did nothing in lockdown. I had such a hard time being creative. I'm like.
Damn. Dude, a lot of people did, man. And this movie is a very good representation of what lockdown was like. Mm. And because it starts off as just these jokes about like, haha, millennials can't get off the internet, can they? Haha. And it just descends from there. It just gets worse and worse.
I will have to watch it.
I can't recommend anything more than Inside as far as if you want a historical reference piece for the future. This is the shit that should be studied in class, in history class, in 2050, 2060. This is what it was like. But anyway, sorry.
next nomination.
I've thoroughly oversold this movie now.
Comes from Riley, and it is The True End of Evangelion.
Oh, Evangelion, yep. I still haven't watched it, Riley. I'm sorry. There's just... I've been busy, and I have not felt emotionally stable enough to watch it. I've been You can't watch Bo Burnham's Inside and Evangelion in the same year, and I did, and I regret it.
Riley has another nomination, which is the Furbies bit in the Mitchells vs. the Machines, which I also forgot about and is also hilarious. Remember when the Furbies are taken over in the...
It is funny, but again, it feels like an ad.
For and I what? Know that, Furbies? Like, are they... Yeah. Do they even make them still?
I'm sure they do. And I don't know what it was, but like that moment in particular just really didn't do it for me for that movie.
I think you're a big soft boy, Cal. I like the bit where they catch they caught the big Furby.
I just think if Mitchell's versus the Machine's getting a nod, it's probably Loaf of Bread. Dog, pig, loaf of bread.
I mean, it is hard to beat that moment in the Mitchells vs. the Machines. Matt's nomination is exactly what I expected. And admittedly, it's also on my list. Spoilers again for No Way Home. This is the big spoiler. So stop listening if you haven't seen No Way Home. Matt's nomination is for the return of the Spider-Men in Spider-Man No Way Home. He says, we all knew it was coming despite all of Andrew Garfield's straight-faced lies about not being in the movie, but the moment he took his mask off after coming through the portal will go down in history of one of the greatest moments I've ever had in a theatre. Toby's return after a long absence was well worth the wait too. It's one of my nominations, it's got to be said, and it was probably going to be my nomination because... Andrew Garfield arriving through that portal made me giddy.
in the cinema when we saw it, and everyone's clapping. And
people cheered. And I I knew it was happening. I was slapping Charlie behind me. I was slapping the stranger to the left.
hey, fuck you. Spider-Man.
I mean, there's a very good chance it's going to win because as far as a singular moment goes, Matt is right. It's going to be one I remember. I remember Han and Chewie arriving on the Falcon, midnight screening, Force Awakens.
You're ruining this moment for me.
I'm going to remember Andrew Garfield and Tobey Maguire arriving through a portal.
Are you going to save the world dressed as a camp pastor, or are you going to pastor, or are you going to get your seat? Because that moment is a little bit long, and I found the getting the cobweb bit distracting and not
boo.
Very good.
Boo.
I just have to get it out. But like,
boo.
MJ throwing the bread rolls, hilarious. Him jumping up and sticking to the ceiling, hilarious. MJ then going, crawl around. And going, no, this is enough. It's not enough. Crawl around. No, I'm not going to do that. Quite good. The web slinger shoot off. What's it called when it's the Guns of Dawn? Duel. The duel.
Yeah.
That was great.
What's it called when there are guns at dawn? Cal.
Yeah, you know what I mean. Not dawn, noon.
God, but you forgot the word duel.
I did. I couldn't think of it. Shut up.
I mean, the thing is, I've got another nomination from No Way Home, and I'm a really good lawyer.
Look, really good lawyer's a good bit, but to me, it's ruined because Daredevil wouldn't do that. Daredevil wouldn't just reveal himself to Spider-Man for no reason.
I guess, but also... Who
cares? It's fun, but it does shit me.
Oh my God, Cal, why? Who hurt you? Who hurt you since I saw you last?
I guarantee you it was you at some point.
Does sound like something I would do.
So your official nomination is the Spider-Man arriving through the portal?
I want to nominate three other moments.
Cool, go for it. Go.
So spoilers for the Fear Street movies, but the bread slicer scene in the first one.
Oof, yeah.
As far as like something that's going to stick with you, that moment fucked me because I was just not expecting it.
Up until then, none of the main cast had died.
No, we'd had a murder spree at the start, but everyone felt invincible other than that. And then suddenly, they're very dead. Like, it's the first time in a really long time I've been properly shocked by a death in a slasher. So I had to nominate it for that. And it might be the nomination I go with. The other one from Fear Street is the Bookproof Vest. Because I just find it so funny. Not really the best moment, but...
Look, as far as, self-insert, like, the author saves the day kind of bullshit...
it's pretty good. It's the best. And the final nomination I have is Space Car from F9.
yes! Oh, that is on my list.
But because Matt put Andrew Garfield arriving through the portal, I'm going to put the bread slicer from Fear Street as my official nom.
Ooh, I mean, that's a hard one, man. Like that, like, oh, cause I think, okay, sorry. I've got to go through what I actually had. Cause this was a pretty stacked short list for me.
Yeah, same.
So I really don't know what's going to be there, but going to space in F9 was up there for me.
Yeah,
like, that was on my list.
Yeah,
I had. Now I don't know whether I'm pretty sure we have this discussion every year, but how do we feel about nominating shit from TV? I think we've done it before.
Oh, we do it every year. It's fine.
Cool. And the other thing is, I don't know how to call this one moment, but the moment of the Spider-Man turning up is a pretty long moment, if you include from the opening of the portal to "With great power comes great responsibility" on the top.
I think if you're gonna lower it down to a moment, it's just the mask coming off and then the sheer euphoria.
So the second thing on my short list was the ending of the Marble episode in Squid Game. Where Il Nam just like decides to die to save the main character.
Why would you remind me of Squid Game? Now I'm sad.
Because that combined with the moment of that sweetheart, I think he was from Pakistan. When he gets betrayed hard, like those two moments together, I know are explicitly two separate moments, but they're happening at the same time. For a reason in that story, like they are meant to be mirrors of each other. It's just so heartbreaking and heartwarming at once.
I didn't get that.
Oh, shut up, Siri. There's that. That is definitely on my list. I also had the train scene in Invincible.
Oh God, Cal, stop!
I'm sorry, but like him being used as a weapon.
So sad.
To kill everybody on that train, just mince them, like just as a dark reflection of the Spider-Man train scene. It's so good.
It is. It is great, and Invincible was great. Oh.
So the other things on my list was the Cecil versus Omni-Man fight in Invincible, but that's not really going to make a nomination. It was just really cool.
Yeah.
Daniel Craig and Ana de Armas. I think that's how you say her name. When they are fighting together in No Time to Die, and I'm like, hey, Knives Out, that was a good movie.
Yeah, and then they have the drink together, like mid fight, pretty good.
Yeah,
I back that nom, good nom.
And the moment where Spider-Man sort of has this super relatable moment for me, with Doctor Strange, where he realizes that he just could have called somebody. And asked to be, and asked to like to talk to somebody about getting into MIT.
Because
like,
Sam, let me tell you, I can't tell you the amount of times I've gone to reset the universe when I could have just picked up the phone.
No, but dude, like how many times have you been told as a kid, like as a young adult, sort of transitioning into proper adulthood, that like you find out that you can just do this thing, like you're an equal with this other person now, kind of like you can have an adult conversation with them and potentially change their mind. It's just something that's so mind-bogglingly out of the question for a kid, but a daily thing for an adult. Like you have to learn how to do that.
Yeah.
And at some point in your life, yeah, it seems more reasonable to go to a wizard than it does to actually go and ask somebody. What like a state that was. Of affairs. Like, yeah, I think a lot of people can really relate to that, but it can't possibly win the nomination, like, compared to the, like, oh, all of these movies were leading up to this moment thing. It's like a bit of an Endgame thing. Remember when Endgame was new and we talked about that in the Muffins?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's sort of what this feels like. Like, nothing can possibly beat it, even though I do think that, like, as far as what impacted me as a person goes, the train scene or the marble episode are, like, way more impactful.
Yeah.
And the bread slice is really good, but it's... I think if I'm going to give it to anything, it's probably going to be to this.
And those... The Mitchells versus the Machines nominations.
Very good. Very funny.
Very funny.
Yeah. But they're just not on the same level, are they?
As Spider-Man? I don't think so.
The only thing that I could possibly sort of, like, throw out there, like, cause I would stand by a nomination of the train scene or the marble scene. But, like, the only thing that sort of stands up as sort of something close to it culturally are the ads in Free Guy. Like, that Captain America shield and cameo of...
I was going to say the cameo.
And then the lightsaber.
Brienne's nomination. And then the lightsaber and the musical cue.
Like, it kicks
pretty
your...
Pretty good nom, too.
Yeah, your, like, consumerism brain. Like... into gear real hard. Like, those are just ads.
They are.
But they get you going.
We're pushing an hour. We should just give it to Spider-Man and move
holy
on.
Shit. Yes, we should. I'm sorry. I didn't mean for that to go on so long. But yeah, that's what we're at. Cool.
The other Spider-Man arrive. Best antagonist.
This is always a fun nomination. Well, we got to decide on the muffin. Or are we skipping the bit?
No. The bit shall never end.
So again, it's three muffins.
Like, I think it's a bread roll this time. No muffin, you just get a bread roll.
God damn it. Just a bread roll for Andrew Garfield.
Andrew Garfield gets a bread roll.
That's so rude because he carried bits
he
of
did.
This
he
movie.
Was the best. Apparently that scene where he said, "I really love you guys," he improv'd that.
Yeah.
That's why the other two are so fucking awkward.
We're just like, thanks. Oh, yeah. Dude, that really felt like they were shitting on that character hard.
The bit where Andrew Garfield, like, catches the glider, though. No, not Andrew Garfield. Tobey Maguire.
Tobey Maguire.
The other one.
The part where you realize the pumpkin bombs in the MacGuffin box is like, oh shit! Like, that's quite good. Oh, man, Alfred Molina, just on any time he's on the screen, like, when he's like, oh, it's so quiet now. Oh, fuck. That movie's just very good. We can't... That movie gets the muffin.
The muffin is... The muffin
at least one of them's a bread roll.
The muffin is a cake and a bread roll sitting on top of it. And the cake was baked by someone who's never baked before, but they managed to bake a really great cake.
It kind of looks like Hagrid's cake.
It's perfect. It's a perfect cake. It's a reference to the fact that Ned has never done magic before, but now can do magic.
Now, can't keep going. I can't. Best antagonist.
Best antagonist. Brienne's nomination is Antoine from Free Guy. Sorry, that's an honorable mention. Is Antoine from Free Guy?
Yep.
I'll make Taika Waititi. And her actual nomination is Nick Good /Solomon from Fear Street.
That's very good.
Good's evil. It's such
and
a dumb
evil
line.
Dies tonight. Sorry.
No, Cal. Cal, I cannot have this much brain space taken up by Halloween Kills.
I'm sorry. I can't.
I'm reaching capacity.
All right.
I really like Nick Gooders. But yes. Yeah. Next one we've got is Bob's. And Bob's is... Oh, also Ant-1 from Free Guy.
Cool.
He says it sums up 90% of what's wrong with video game companies.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Makes sense.
Deedly doodly.
Riley has put...
Oh, Riley. Yes.
Willem Dafoe's Green Goblin.
Oh, fuck.
And the Candyman.
I'm not going to get bogged down in what counts as an antagonist.
Well, the Candyman, the villain, not the Candyman, the main character.
But who is that? It's just like, it's just an idea that's living in his head. Is it not him?
The original Candyman is the Candyman, but there's been multiple iterations of the Candyman.
Is he even in that movie?
Yeah, he is. No, he is. He straight up is. It's the actor who I always forget.
Well, yeah, but it's all in... Look, I'm not going to get bogged down in what counts. Because that's a particularly complicated mind fuck.
All right, I've just seen something very funny, but this is a spoiler for the next category. But Riley has put down for best protagonist the Candyman.
Yeah, exactly. See what I mean? I'm not going to get bogged down in it. I refuse.
I love that, Riley. Also, Riley, this is very annoying because those are my two nominations and I have no others.
Oh, fuck you.
Matt has put Wenwu from Shang-Chi.
Says
equal parts imitating and emotionally powerful. Yep, totally. Totally good villain. And, you know, best villains always think they're right. So
the worst bit is when he's so clearly and obviously wrong and he should notice all the fucking demon bats crawling out from the holes that he's making and he's just not paying any attention.
Yeah, he's like, just a dumb bum.
Yeah, like there's that moment and I think it could have been a little bit more that he's enthralled by the Dark One or whatever.
Yeah. He's like, it's not just that he's being lied to, he's straight up being like mind controlled.
By that point, it's mind controlled.
Or emotionally controlled, yeah.
At least that's my headcanon.
Yeah. As I said, my nominations were also The Candyman and Willem Dafoe's Green Goblin.
Yep, look, those two are great.
Who'd you got?
My joke one was Fear in Halloween Kills. That's the real villain.
Let's give it to it. Actually, can we make the worst, the antagonist, the movie Halloween Kills?
It's just our antagonist for the whole year.
Yeah. But actually, that's not best. That would be worst. And look, we don't do worst categories anymore. I'm just going to say it right now. Worst antagonist category, the winner is Halloween Kills. Unofficially.
Unofficially. There's no muffin for you.
Yeah, no muffins for shit.
I had an honorable mention for John Cena in the Suicide Squad.
Yeah. It's
probably not going to win. Like, this was a pretty short list for me, so I was just sort of throwing some other things out there, but he deserves a nod at least, I think. Mm-hmm. Icarus in the Eternals because that movie was just so good at making it seem like, yeah, maybe the Earth should get blown up for this Eternal to live. this Celestial to be born. Like, there's, like, the... That movie in particular lent to this character, and I think that actor's performance was really good. I think for me, my official nomination is Sung-woo in Squid Game.
Fair enough, that piece of shit.
When you sort of realize that, like,
he's the one who screws over. It's Ali. Ali's the character he screws over with the marbles, right?
Yeah. So, like, because, like, you sort of know that that's what he's doing, that he's just trying to win it himself, and that he's really only in it for himself. But when you realize that, like, he was just so cold all the way at the beginning, like, when he told everybody to spread out, it was because he knew what the game was, but even if he didn't, he was hedging his bets.
Yeah.
Like, man, yeah, I don't really know how to compare it, because fuck, Green Goblin's very good, isn't he?
I'm just gonna have to say it's gotta be the Green Goblin. I know we had a couple of noms for Taika Waititi, in Free Guy, and he was a good villain, but there's no... Willem Dafoe, the fact that he has come back after nearly two decades.
Yeah,
and absolutely knocked it out of the park. It's got to be. It's got to be him.
And just the performance, right? Because, like, Alfred Molina steals the show every scene that he's in.
Totally.
Except for the one scene where it's just him and Goblin interacting.
Tom Holland's just wailing on the Goblin. He's just, like, laughing in his face.
Mm.
He feels powerful the way he, like, just throws Tom Holland through the floor of the building. Like, it wasn't quite end of Spider-Man 1 brutal, but it was close.
The only thing I'd say is that the fight on the Statue of Liberty shield seems very one-sided for how two-sided it was earlier on. And, you know, you could say, oh, yeah, he's just been blown up on his glider, and maybe the prototype of the cure sort of worked.
He hadn't had it yet.
Well, so Aunt May jabbed something into him, and he says that it didn't work, but maybe it worked a little.
Oh, maybe. Oh, no, no, yeah, no. Like, that was one, because that was the one he made. He made it so it didn't work.
Oh, okay. That's decent headcanon.
They straight up say it, don't they? Because started being the Goblin before everyone realized. Oh my god, a moment we didn't mention was that bit with the spider sense, where he's like trying to figure out which villain has betrayed him. Oh my god, what a great use of spider sense.
I thought you were going to talk about the bit where he's disembodied and he's using his spider sense to still move his body.
Oh, and you actually see them. Oh, just the best moment that whole movie.
It's very good, man.
Best antagonist. There's some great antagonists. I think it has to be Green Goblin, though.
I think it has to as well, because, like, Wen Wu's got some flaws. Nick Good is, like, not really that convincing of a villain once he's revealed to be the villain.
I think
he was much more convincing as a sympathetic sort of side character.
Well, what I like about him as the villain is they're kind of those pathetic villains. Like, they sit in the corner and they make stuff happen, but when push comes to shove, they're cowards. And that's what I really liked about him as a villain. The problem is he isn't the villain, quotation marks, for most of that trilogy. We believe the villain is...
Seraphia,
the witch. So I think he's a great villain, and I think the reveal's great. But it's just not Goblin great.
Yep. No, fair
enough.
That's
the thing. A lot of good villains this year, though, which is nice to see.
Yeah, it is. But Mr. Dafoe, your green muffin is in the
Cal.
In the mail?
No muffin for Mr. Dafoe. He can have a pumpkin pie, baby. green cool. muffin. You suck at this.
Dude, what? Pumpkin pie is not a muffin? Fuck you. You suck at this.
Pumpkin muffin? Pumpkin spice muffin. There we go.
Oh, there we go. okay.
Brienne's honorable mentions for best protagonist?
Yep.
Raya from Raya and the Last Dragon?
Okay.
Cassandra from Promising Young Woman, which is a good movie, but also is somewhat of a disappointing movie. The trailer, it's a good movie that the trailer made it seem like it was something else, so I was kind of disappointed by it, just because it wasn't what I expected. Good character, though. And then Brienne's actual nomination is Mirabelle from Encanto.
Okay, I haven't seen Encanto yet.
Oh, Cal, you should probably watch Encanto. I'm fully here for this nomination. It's a great nom. That movie's... What I love... Without spoiling anything, really.
Mm.
She's in a family... Because this is in the opening song.
Yeah.
Basically, her family all have this generational power. Where they come of age and they get... Everyone gets a unique... Basically, superpower, right?
Right.
But when Mirabella came of age, she didn't get a superpower.
Yeah. Classic story.
Classic. But the way it's executed throughout the movie is really good.
Fair enough. I've heard a lot of mediocre things about this movie.
Oh, really? I really liked it. I was surprised. I mean, it's not quite as good as Moana, but it's, like, up there.
Mm. Yeah, no, yeah. Fair enough.
Nomination from Bob for Best Protagonist is Peter Parker. He has specified Tom Holland.
Ooh, okay.
He said, dude puts in the effort to bring you along on what is a very long and tumultuous emotional roller coaster. Tom Holland does do exceptionally well in No Way Home, to be fair.
Yeah, there's a lot of range on display in that movie.
Yeah. Riley's nomination for Best Protagonist. I feel like this always happens in the awards. We get to the later categories and we just like breeze through them really quickly because time crunch.
Running out of time. Yeah.
As Riley said, The Candyman, which I already mentioned, and Katie Mitchell from Mitchells vs. the Machines, who's also a great nom.
Fair enough.
I really loved that movie and I really liked some good animated movies getting nominated. That's good to see. I really liked her, and Matt tweeted us a link, but she's that character's got like their own, what's that website where people rate movies?
Oh, Letterboxd.
Yeah, I think she's got her own Letterboxxd account officially.
That's funny. That's pretty funny. Cool.
And actually, and was reviewing movies for Discussing Films Twitter, I think. So, like, that's pretty cool because that was her whole character shtick, right? Was being a movie fan.
A creator.
So, yeah. Good nom. I really like Katie Mitchell. And Matt's nomination for Best Protagonist is, all the Mitchells from Mitchells vs. the Machines. He said it was wholesome and fun movie, and watching the family grow to appreciate where each other was coming from was probably the most emotional moment in movies this year for me. Bullshit. You just said that it was when, spoilers, Andrew Garfield arrived through a portal. We all know. I'm on to you, buddy.
You can't lie to us. Fair enough. So we've got Riley's, we've got Bob's. Yeah, but that's everybody else's.
That was everyone. Yeah, Brianne, Matt. Yep.
Okay, this was a much shorter list for me.
Samesies.
The more I think about it, the more I think I have to give it to Ellie from Last Night in Soho.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I forgot about Last Night in Soho.
Yeah. But, I know she doesn't have much of a choice but to become obsessed with figuring this thing out. But, yeah, watching her emotional rollercoaster through it all was really compelling.
The performance was excellent.
Mm.
Did you have more mentions?
So I had one honorable mention. It was just Mark Grayson from Invincible for all the reasons I said about
sure.
it.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
In best moment. Yep.
I had Shang-Chi.
Yep. Fair enough.
Because I thought he was very charismatic and I like him as a performer. Actually, I follow him on Twitter now because he's very funny too.
I've watched the pilot for Kim's Convenience. Not the pilot, the first episode of Kim's Convenience.
Yeah.
Since that movie, and yeah, he's just very good in that.
He's I've also seen the pilot for that, or first episode, whatever you want to call it. I've been meaning to go back. I've heard it's good, but I'm not sure it ends. It might get cancelled, so it doesn't have a proper ending. I don't know.
I'm not sure.
I also have put, and they're not a protagonist, so it was a cheat, but spoilers again. I'm gonna keep saying it. I don't want to get screamed at on the internet. But Andrew Garfield, Spider-Man, because I love him. He's my, I always loved him and I always defended him in the Amazing Spider-Man movies. I know Amazing Spider-Man 2 is a mess. And I know that
but it was never his fault that it was a mess.
And he's great in them. I think the scenes with the scene where Gwen dies and he lands in, his performance is awesome. And that's reflected, I think, in No Way Home and has solidified him as my favorite Spider-Man. I'm actually pretty down to give this to Ellie from Last Night in Soho, to be honest. I'd give it to any of these nominations.
They're all pretty good. My only refutation of Raya is that I liked Luca better.
Fair enough.
And to the point where I probably should have nominated Luca, to be honest. honestly, Mark Grayson is just a bit shit, and that's sort of the point, and it's him becoming better as a person, but I was much more compelled by every other character in that show than I was by him. Not that he's bad by any stretch, just that it's such a stacked show. I haven't seen Encanto. I feel like giving it to Spider-Man is just a bit cheap.
I think Spider-Man...
I don't entirely know why.
Yeah, no, I tend to agree, I nominated Spider-Man, but I would like Spider-Man's got a few noms already, and I feel like it's going to get one more by the time the day's done.
But it's not even that. It's that, like, there's just, like, ultimately what we saw of Tom Holland's Spider-Man is a reflavored but pretty familiar origin story again.
Yeah.
So I feel like giving it to that is just a bit like, well, shit, is Spider-Man just going to win it anytime they reboot Spider-Man?
Yeah, I know what you mean.
Sort of what it feels like to me. Whereas Ellie was on this, like, such an interesting journey that she was wrong about for so long. Spoilers for Last Night in Soho.
Let's give it to Ellie, because I really liked her in Last Night in Soho, a movie I really liked.
And cool. I'm happy to...
Yeah. But
it got a bit like that, didn't it? Because this year was pretty stacked.
I think the back end of this year has been super stacked. And there was nothing in the front half, really. So it's felt really disproportionately balanced. Because it is crazy that Black Widow came out this year, right? Like, that
so
felt like a million
Marvel
years
came
ago.
Out this year.
And, like, not even to mention best protagonists like Wanda.
Mm. Yeah.
Loki.
Yeah. Like, there's a reason I haven't nominated any of them, though. Like, I didn't forget them. But honestly, none of the Marvel shows really sort of stuck with me that hard.
WandaVision's the one for me that did, I think. I liked them all for the most part, but they didn't, none of the, you're right, they don't really, they felt like events that happened and then were done.
Yeah. We should move on.
To the, what muffin are we giving Ellie for Last Night in Soho?
Oh, I mean, I just wanted to have a nice one.
have a nice, normal muffin, Ellie. It's blueberry.
Okay.
There you go.
Yeah, there you go. Nice, normal muffin.
You've had a rough one. Here's a nice, normal thing.
And just remember to share it with your boyfriend, because he was just... He went through a lot.
He went through a lot too, yeah. Oofed. So, we're up to worst movie. Brianne's nominations are... Or honorable mention is News of the World, which, as we already said, quite boring. And then worst nom is Love and Monsters.
Oof.
Big oof. I
would disagree with that.
I do not think Love and Monsters deserves worst movie. I quite liked Love and Monsters.
I thought it was pretty good. If I had have watched it, like if it had have been maybe a little shorter, I don't know. Like I thought it was pretty good all around.
It didn't, it was missing something.
It was, and it got outshone by Mitchell's versus the Machines.
Which was basically the same movie, but better, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I don't know.
I would disagree
good,
with that,
but
I can acknowledge that, yeah, it probably just wasn't the right thing for Brianne at the time.
Yeah, and that's sometimes all it takes.
Yep. What's the next set of nominations?
Next nomination is from Bob.
Yep.
Wait a second.
Ooh.
This doesn't quite line up with some other... awards we've already given up, but his nomination for the worst movie is Snyder Cut.
Ooh, okay.
And he's put a note here saying, see my essay for the magnitude of reasons why this is so not good. What essay?
I think when we talked about Snyder Cut, he tweeted a very long thing about it.
Maybe.
So go back and listen to that episode, because we're not going to cover that here. Look, I disagree with whatever
it
was, man.
I hard disagree on both these worst noms so far I've disagreed with.
I get it.
Sorry, Brian and Bob.
But we're going to throw out worse shit. We're just going to. Like,
you and I are going to come up with worst movies.
I'm both going to be. Yeah.
Riley's nomination for worst movie. Oh, God. Riley, you are always tweeting us about terrible movies you've watched.
Yeah, it seems like Riley watches way more movies than us, but they're all crap.
They're all bad. So I'm going to put in brackets. Riley has put in brackets saying too many to possibly narrow it down and has listed them all. So I'm going to just rattle some off.
Jeez, okay.
2025, A World Enslaved by Virus. Me, You, Madness. Songbird, After We Fell, A Castle for Christmas, Space Jam, American Pie, that must be that new girl one, American Pie Girls Rules, is that it? Tom and Jerry, and Red Notice.
Jeez, Tom and Jerry. I mean,
I heard it was awful.
I did hear it was awful. I suggested we cover it. I think I did suggest we cover it when we talked about the Space Jams.
Yeah. Yeah. Without even seeing it, I'm pretty ready to give 2025 A World Enslaved by Virus worst movie nom.
Look, with just a
title like with a title like that, you fucking deserve it. I've seen Space Jam on that list.
Yeah. Yeah. Same. That's it.
And
look, spoilers, it's on my list.
I heard okay things about Red Notice, and I heard terrible things about the rest, so...
I heard Red Notice was really bad.
I heard Red Notice was okay for what it was.
Fair enough.
And like it was like a fun, dumb movie with charismatic people being themselves.
We're not going to watch it.
So I guess it's the expectation. No, we're not going to do it for this, no. And the final nomination from our nomination committee is from Matt, and Riley, you're the only one that's given a good nomination for worst movie. Matt's nominated Mortal Kombat.
Jeez, okay.
He says another mediocre video game movie with a by the numbers plot.
Oh yeah.
He's given dishonorable mentions to Red Notice, Dear Evan Hansen, and The Kissing Booth 3. Why would you even watch that?
Yeah, why would you watch Kissing Booth anything?
Were you so enamored with Kissing Booth 1 and 2?
Man, that just reminded me that I watched that new Cinderella movie this year.
I
haven't nominated that for anything because I completely forgot about it. It doesn't really deserve anything.
It doesn't deserve best or worst stuff, no.
No, it was just sort of okay.
I also nominated... Okay. I only have one nomination for worst movie this year.
I think I know what it is, Sam.
It's Space Jam.
Oh, okay. That's not what I thought it was at all.
What do you think my nomination would have been?
I had two things on my list, and I was like, Sam's just going to have the same thing, so I'm not even going to bother elaborating anymore. I was like, Space Jam and Halloween Kills, baby.
Fuck. It's Halloween Kills. It just is Halloween Kills.
It's so much worse than everything else.
I forgot it happened.
Dude, Space Jam is an ad for shit I can't buy. Halloween Kills is worse than that.
The thing is, we've mentioned it multiple times on this episode, and it's already like seeping out of my brain. It's making me dumber. The more you mention it, I get dumber.
Dude, Michael Myers like organized bodies into like weird, creepy dioramas. There was Big John and Little John getting killed, and I'm like, "What? Who the fuck even are these people? And why are they called Big John and Little John?" That's not a good example of why this movie's bad. This movie's bad because evil dies tonight. He has terrorized our town for too long. That movie's really fucking bad, and it's at least you can have some fun with Space Jam.
Fear was the friends we made along the way. Here's your muffin Halloween Kills. It's just a piece of poo.
And I've just thrown it on the ground.
I've just thrown it straight on the ground at your feet. Eat it.
In the vague direction of the post office. You're just not even getting it. Fuck you.
God, I forgot about Halloween Kills. How dare you? How dare you, Cal?
How dare I? I thought you were saying, how dare you, Halloween Kills?
No, Cal, how dare you? Reminding me this movie exists.
Man, I can't believe we watched that just hungover one day, just on a whim.
Oh, it made it so much worse, too.
It did.
The fact that we watched Batman and Robin...
And Piranha
3D and Halloween Kills was the worst one.
Piranha's, like, actually legitimately not bad compared
to... It's like, hey, you want to proper satire? And then Batman and Robin is also like, hey, you want a proper satire?
Yeah. Meanwhile, Halloween Kills is, like, deadpan taking it super seriously, and it's the fucking worst. Okay,
I need something uplifting now. Best movie, Cal. Last nomination.
Here we go, baby.
Here we
go. What's Brianne got?
Brianne's got a couple of nominations, but she hasn't been able to settle on one.
Yep.
Encanto, which is the Disney movie. King Richard.
Okay.
Which is
I heard good things about that.
I've heard really good things too, but I also haven't seen it yet. Will Smith's, usually pretty good even when he's in something bad. So if this is good and Will Smith is in it, then he's probably really good. It's about the Williams sisters, the tennis players.
Oh, yep, I heard about that.
And apparently it's really great, and it's a, you know, an interesting story.
Yeah, so... I've heard it's apparently quite a good family movie. It's never even crossed my radar.
Yeah, no, I saw trailers for it recently when I went to see French Dispatch at the movie picture show.
Fair enough.
And yeah, it looks really good.
Cool.
And Brianne's other final nomination is Spider-Man No Way Home.
Yep,
I'm going to give you a fair warning. There's a bit of a common theme in the best movie nomination category. Bob's nomination for best movie is Spider-Man No Way Home.
Nothing else?
He says, this could have gone so wrong on so many levels, but damn, do they just hit it right. This film just nails the heart and soul of Spider-Man. I would hope that Stan Lee and Steve Ditko would be very happy.
Fair enough. What about...
Riley has thrown some spanners in the works, which we very much appreciate. Some variety, Riley. Unfortunately, it usually means it won't get a win, but that's all right. We're just here to have fun. Evangelion, Thrice Upon a Time. Is that what it's called?
Yeah, that's not Ava's subtitle. But I think it's 3+1. You cannot. I can't remember what it's called. Yeah.
Could be another nation's subtitle. You know how different countries have different subtitles sometimes.
Yeah, I doubt it, but yeah.
I haven't seen it,
so I can't really say.
So what do you know, Cal? I'm going to go with Riley. Riley's next nomination is Shiver Baby, which I have not heard of.
Nope.
Oh, The French Dispatch, which I have seen now, Riley. It is excellent. It is the most Wes Anderson movie.
Fair enough. So if I'm going to start with Wes Anderson, I don't start there because it's all downhill.
No, you've seen Moonrise Kingdom though, right?
No. We've had this discussion, man. I've seen nothing so many times.
You should probably just watch his movies in the order they came out because they kind of evolve his style.
Fair enough.
And then you hit like Grand Budapest Hotel, which is maybe my favorite one.
I keep getting that confused with the Best Exotic Marigold Hotel.
Very different, but also very good.
Mm.
And the final nomination Riley has is The Mitchells versus The Machines.
Hey.
I genuinely really like it. I think it's a great film.
The more I think about it, the more I like it.
And it's definitely the best animated movie of the year. Encanto in a close second for me.
Fair enough.
Because it's by the same team that did Into the Spider-Verse.
Yeah. And I think some of the writers worked on Gravity Falls.
Love Mitchells versus The Machine. And Matt's nomination for best movie is Spider-Man No Way Home, a celebration of all things Spider-Man that single-handedly brought back the cinema experience with cheers and whoops.
Okay.
Thanks, Matt.
Sam, what's on your list that isn't Spider-Man No Way Home? Because I assume that's on
the
list.
So let's have a look. I've got Spider-Man No Way Home.
Okay.
I've also got A Quiet Place Part 2.
Okay.
Because I just really like those movies. And I liked it more than the first one, which I found super surprising.
It's a bit of a weird genre shift, which horror movies do quite a lot in their sequel.
Terminator, Alien.
Yeah. Happy Death Day. There's plenty of things that know that you can't rely on that horror element after... you've sort of gotten to know, after you've learnt about the mechanics of how this works and what the villain is. So you have to do something different. And A Quiet Place Part 2 does pretty good with that.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
What have you got that's not Spider-Man?
Okay. I know that it's never going to win, but my personal sort of heart of hearts is I really, really liked Luca.
Fair enough. I thought Luca was just okay, but...
Yeah, I think... I've heard a lot of people really don't like Luca.
Well, see, I don't have it. I genuinely like movies. If I think a movie's bad, they've done something very wrong. Like, if there's a movie that is just, like... Movies like Luca, I'm like, okay, this wasn't really for me. I appreciate the art form. I thought it was very pretty. I just didn't get much out of it.
Well, I hear a lot of people
Fear Street trilogy. That was my other nomination.
Yeah.
I know it doesn't count, it's three movies, but
you kind of have to count them as one.
Have to count them as one. Which is another bit that I really like about it, because you so rarely get a trilogy that is a trilogy from the get-go. Like,
yeah.
Usually yeah. you'll get like, hey, The Matrix is amazing, so Matrix 2 and 3 are connected.
Yeah.
Or yeah. same with Pirates of the Caribbean. Pirates of the Caribbean 1 was amazing, so 2 and 3 are connected, and now it's a trilogy. Back to the Future's the same. Back to the Future got away with it. It ended with a cliffhanger, but...
The fact that Fear Street has more in common with The Lord of the Rings than it does with any of those other trilogies that you've...
is very funny.
Is telling for how good the franchise is. Like, it's just all round pretty good because it was planned as one whole thing and executed as one whole thing.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's got the legs to stand up to Spider-Man.
No, I don't think it does.
Look, I personally also had Last Night in Soho.
Yep, which I'd forgotten until you mentioned it, but that would probably be on my list too, had I remembered.
It's quite a good movie, and it's just as far as like the next evolution in what Edgar Wright can do. Like, very good. Free Guy was also on my list, because it is just a very, like, it's a horrendous premise. Really shitty premise, but it was executed flawlessly. It's just a very good movie, and it has no right at all to be. Like, if I was going to put up a fight for any of them, it'd be Free Guy.
The thing is, I loved Free Guy. It's not Spider-Man No Way Home, though.
I don't want this to be the case. I don't want Spider-Man to just endgame it, to just, like, be this defining cultural touchstone, and therefore nothing else can touch it. But it was genuinely a pretty good movie as well.
Like it had a lot of emotional heart to it.
And even just cool, dumb comic book shit. Like,
and it ends like Electro... pretty fucking dark too. The hero loses. Spider-Man straight up loses in that movie.
Yeah, like a lot.
Yeah, he loses everything, in fact. Like, he's so alone. I'm so sad for him.
Yeah. And like, but even like Electro getting an arc reactor. Such a cool thing I didn't think that I wanted until I had it.
Yeah.
I didn't think I wanted the Goblin to be so in, like, to be the thing that triggered Aunt May to say, no, you have to help these people. And that ultimately coming back to bite her. And, like, that journey that Spider-Man goes on, that Tom Holland goes on, between the start of the third act, like, between the lowest moment...
Yeah.
And the end of the movie is a whole movie's worth of character development, and it's in one act of this movie.
Ugh, as if it didn't come up in the best moment bit, but where Andrew Garfield catches MJ.
Oh, so good, man. How did that not...
So good. How did we not bring that up?
Dude, that one best moment, yeah, didn't it?
I'm just checking. That one best moment, yep.
Yeah, cool. All right, cool. So, is there a good category that Spider-Man hasn't won? Because I feel like it's just sweeping here.
It didn't win Best Protagonist. It didn't win Surprising Movie. And it didn't win Disappointing Movie. So it hasn't swept. It has got 3 of the 7 categories.
Yeah.
But you know what? When you make such a tentpole movie that has such an impact like this, it's just what's going to happen.
Because, like, it's not perfect. By any stretch, but neither was anything this year.
2 years ago, right? After Far From Home came out, there was questions whether Tom Holland was even going to be in the MCU anymore.
Yeah.
And then we got this.
Mm. Well, and I remember feeling like, well, fuck, after Endgame, should I just bail on the MCU?
Yeah.
Like, maybe this is where I hop off. You know, it was a fun ride. Maybe I'll hop back on in 10 years' time and catch up on 30 fucking movies that have come out between now and then and you know, and enjoy that, but for the moment I'll just hop off. But man, Spider-Man opens up a whole lot of possibilities.
Yep.
That and makes Doctor me excited Strange for it again. Yeah. I really hope they stick this landing.
Yeah, me too.
Because the precedent that they've set, right, is that Ben Affleck's Daredevil's canon, all the X-Men's are canon, even if they don't necessarily make any sense. All the Fantastic Four's are canon, including Fantastic. Man, that's crazy. You don't want that shit attached to your project.
It's all there.
Yeah. Like, that's that's a huge precedent to set to get people excited, and it should get some people really fucking nervous, but it hasn't for me. It's just made me keen.
Yeah, same. So Spider-Man No Way Home.
Spider-Man No Way Home just fucking wins everything.
Yeah,
fuck it.
Yeah. Here's your muffin. It's got one of the sparklers in it that when you blow on it, it won't go out.
Because, like, it definitely, like, there's other things that I think are, like, better movies, quote-unquote.
Totally. Totally.
But, like, and part of that is something like Fear Street. Like, Fear Street are just really well put
Last
together
night
things.
In Soho.
Last Night in Soho.
Mitchell's
very,
Versus the Machine.
Very good.
King
yeah,
Richard,
like,
probably.
Everything on this list is better, but
like,
we're
just from
so
an energetic filmmaking, that's it. Yeah.
Like, even Hannibal Buress being like, nah, Mysterio was right. Like, you know, and the other teachers, like, building a shrine to Spider-Man.
Yeah.
It's like, this movie is made of these, like, great little moments.
That's the thing. It's not an objectively great film for plot or story, but its character work is awesome.
MJ, are you going to have his spider babies? You can catch it all in my new book. Flash Thompson, whatever. Like, every little bit was just really good. And, yeah, I don't think it was a particularly well put together film as far as one piece of art standalone goes. But it really was just a, like, a fun cinema experience.
I agree. Totally. 100%. Now, we cut this category that's not a real category, but the most anticipated movie of next year.
Okay.
Everyone asked.
Okay, everyone asked for what we wanted. Like,
Riley asked us, Brianne asked, Matt asked.
Dude. The hard part is, man, then the reason why I wanted to cut it is that I don't even fucking know what's coming out next year.
Well, like, I'll give you some of people's most anticipated movies, shall I?
Cool, go for it.
Brianne's got The Batman, Doctor Strange, Disenchanted, which is the Enchanted sequel.
Okay.
Lightyear, Thor Love and Thunder, and Turning Red.
Okay, I'm kind of... I didn't know that Enchanted was getting a sequel. So that's pretty funny. Like, I'm kind of keen for that as in concept. I haven't even seen Enchanted. I'm keen for Love and Thunder.
Have you not seen Enchanted?
I don't think so. Which one's that?
It's the one with Amy Adams, and she's a cartoon character from a Disney movie that ends up in our world.
Yeah, no, I'm pretty sure we have this discussion every 6 months or so, and I still haven't seen it.
I'm surprised.
So that's funny.
I love it. I think it's a great film. I haven't seen it in a few years now, but I think it's really fun.
Yeah. I thought that's what the movie was, and I like that concept, but yeah, so I'm keen
doing
to see
a sequel. Yep.
I'm not at all keen for the Batman.
Yeah, that's weird to me.
Because I don't need another dark, gritty Batman, man. I'm done. I'm done.
I love Matt Reeves. That's what I'm excited for. I kind of
what
agree
else has Matt
that
Reeves
I'm done.
Done
the Planet of the Apes movies, the new ones.
They were very good, yeah. Mm. Fair enough.
Riley tweeted saying, not a muffin, but I'm curious what movies you're most looking forward to next year. Mm. Riley's list consists of number one is Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse, which is probably my number one. And then Riley's
enough,
number
man.
Two is Scream, which is probably also my number two.
Ooh.
I know. The Unbearable Weight of Massive Talent, which I don't know what that is. The Batman as well.
Yep.
I'm pretty keen on the Batman. Like, I'm just...
Yeah, I know you are.
I like Robert Pattinson. I think he's a great choice. And I know it's
entirely
dark
agree.
And, I know it's dark and gritty, but this looks like it's going to be a little bit more comic booky rather than here's how Batman is practically Batman.
It's Court of Owls and Batman Hush, I think, is the two
main sources.
Yeah, and
I'm down on that.
I really like both of those things.
Same. Riley's also got Knives Out 2.
That's happening.
You see, I was super keen on it. It's going to be a Netflix exclusive.
Ooh.
Yeah, right? Because
and
that
it's
means
not gonna
I can't
have
go watch
it.
It
so
in and I can't watch it in a cinema.
Yeah. Yeah, that does change it.
That makes me a little bit less... And, like, if I can't get a... Like, because I got, like, the Steelbook copy of it on my shelf. If I can't get a matching one, what's the... I mean, I'm sure there's a point, but, you know, I'll still watch it. I'm still keen for it, but I'm not quite... That has dulled my excitement a little bit.
Yeah. And you'll be able to get a physical copy. I think Netflix stuff...
They do sometimes. They do, but it's not always. Yeah. Riley's also got Nope, which is a movie. Oh, Nope. That's, what's his name? Jordan Peele's next movie.
Okay.
It's just called Nope. It's his next horror film. I'm like, that's funny.
Yeah.
Prey, which I think we keep talking about. Oh, yeah,
Predators.
About. The Predators, the movie that I didn't even realize that was happening, and it sounds awesome.
Yeah. Great idea.
Yep. Shin Ultraman.
Oh, fuck yeah. All right. Okay. So Ultraman is like an old, like rubber suit kaiju fighting like superhero from Japan.
Oh yeah.
It's kind of canon with Godzilla. Like there's been crossover stuff in the past. I don't know if it's made by the same sort of group of people. I think it's going to be in the same universe as Shin Godzilla.
That's cool.
Which I know you didn't particularly.
No, I like Shin Godzilla a lot.
You just hated the dub.
I thought the dub was awful.
Yeah.
And Riley agreed with me.
And fair enough. I would probably agree with you. I think I ended up switching to sub. I can't remember. But anyway. Because
that's the one where everyone's like, they're just bad. Anyway. Yeah. Cool. Yeah.
Ultraman is in that sort of vein of thing, but he's like a dude who gets real big and fights monsters.
Okay, so. I'm keen on that. I'm keen. Yeah. I add that to my list too. Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness, also on Brianne's list. And then Thor Love and Thunder, which is also on, I think, everyone's list.
Dude, how can both of those movies come out in the same year? Because I feel like Multiverse of Madness, I think, according to the trailer anyway, it seems a lot more like just Doctor Strange 2 rather than a big touchstone multiverse thing.
Yeah, I think that trailer is which the is first, fine. Like, 10 minutes.
Dude, maybe. Because,
like, I mean, if the rumors are to be believed, the reshoots they're doing, because they're doing, like, a massive amount of reshoots, is to just amp up the multiverse craziness.
Okay. I mean, that makes sense that, like, you get all the filming done, you tell everybody that all the filming's done, and then you get Chris Evans back to play the Human Torch.
Yeah.
But Love and Thunder, I don't know how to feel about that. I'm a bit reluctant to assume it's going to be as good as Ragnarok. Just because if I assume that it is going to be, I might be disappointed. And I don't want to be disappointed. I think it could be really good.
And Matt's most anticipated. You see some common trends across everyone's nominations here, but the Batman, Doctor Strange, Thor, Across the Spider-Verse. He said The Flash, not for Michael Keaton, but because he can't wait to see how much they fuck up their continuity in a desperate attempt to please everyone.
Yep, that's happening.
That
might be one of the most accurate things Matt's ever said.
I don't know what my most anticipated is. All of those.
Yeah, like, because that's the thing, man. I'm just trying not to get too hyped. Like, I'm trying not to get too, like, down on anything either. Like, I don't want to go into Batman assuming it's going to be as good as the animated Batman Hush was, because I really enjoyed that.
And it probably won't be.
It might not be. And I don't want to get attached to another set thing that might be launching another franchise. Like, I'm just...
Well, it's not, but I don't know. I don't know. We'll see. But, another Batman already. Yeah. What has me excited is Matt Reeves and Robert Pattinson, if I'm being honest. Like, Colin Farrell. Like, the cast is great. But
yeah, the cast is great. And I'm keen at this point for DC to just go crazy and for them to just do, okay, do well, whatever.
Just do whatever they want. I'm like, do whatever. And then they're like, okay, we're making another Batman movie and another Batman animated series and another Batman video game. And I'm like, all right, I should have been more specific.
When are we going to have another crack at Green Lantern? Like, because they really fucked that movie up in its third act. Like, it wasn't even that bad until they just decided it was a completely different movie all of a sudden.
Yep.
I
don't know.
When are we going to get a Blue Beetle? When are we going to get Teen Titans on the big screen? Like, there's so many properties here, man, that I just want to see more of. Like, my most anticipated thing would be fucking DC getting their shit together. It's not happening, but...
No, that's wishing
Yeah, too hard.
Wishing but too hard. If I had to pick, it would be Across the Multiverse.
Oh, dude, yeah. Like, even yeah, I can't assume that's going to be bad.
Well, the last one was just so good. And even the teaser they released for this new one, I'm like, this feels the same. And I mean that in the best way.
Yep.
And Oscar Isaac is voicing, like, 2099 Spider-Man.
God damn it. That motherfucker. Anyway. Yeah, that's my most anticipated anyway.
Done. Yeah, that Dunsies. Probably is
it, yeah.
Thank you to all the nominators. Riley, Matt, Bob, Brienne. We appreciate all of them. Big thank you to me and Cal.
Yep.
For being...
Big pat on the back to us. For sitting around for half a Snyder Cut to do this.
Is that how we measure time now?
One Snyder Cut is like...
Hey Siri, set an alarm for 8 Snyder Cuts from now. Oh shit, it's actually doing it.
I can't set an alarm here. Oh no.
Would you like a reminder instead?
No.
Okay.
Okay. Shut up, Siri.
Yeah. Anyway.
So if you want to be a nominator for the 2022 Muffin Awards, tweet us at Video Shop Pod on a semi-regular basis for 12 months.
Or like anyone, or just tweet us those nominations when that comes around.
Yeah, just pretend you're a new listener in about November and tweeting us.
I did have some tweets as well, but maybe we'll just cover them next time.
We got 10 minutes before we hit a full 2 hours, so if you can squeeze them out real quick.
It's just a couple of tweets from Riley.
Yep.
Riley says, copyright with big companies has gotten very stupid, like how most of Sherlock Holmes is public domain, but the Doyle estate will try to sue everyone who makes a Sherlock Holmes story by claiming it's infringing on like 20% of what's still in their control.
Jesus.
But copyright law...
Yeah, this is a rabbit hole.
But copyright law is essential to protecting smaller creatives. So even if it's messy, it's definitely better than nothing. And I tend to agree with that. Another tweet from Riley is, Hawkeye was fun? I enjoyed it? Kingpin was good? I don't know. It was kind of just fine. Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. Oh, thank you, Riley. Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year to you too.
You too. Yeah, I agree with all of those questions.
Yeah. Samesies.
Is that it? Is that all the tweets?
I think there was another one. At Flint Monkey tweeted, Matt said, he tagged us in a post that says, pick a movie, keep one actor, everyone else is played by Muppets. He said, No Way Home, keep Spider-Man. But I disagree. I think you do No Way Home, and you keep Willem Dafoe's Green Goblin. Can you imagine he's like, Kermit the Frog is wailing on his face, like, and he's just smiling up like well-known at Kermit.
I wasn't imagining it like Muppet Christmas Carol or Muppet Treasure Island. I was imagining it like everyone's got themselves in Muppet form, like community style.
Oh yeah.
Because you'd keep Tom Holland, wouldn't you? And then just everybody else is a Muppet, including Zendaya, so their kiss at the end's real awkward.
I think you keep Happy Hogan.
Oh, that's so funny. Just him being like, how'd you know her? Oh, how did that not make a moment? Fuck.
We retroactively made the whole movie the best moment. Don't worry.
Dude, it is. The more I think about it, it is. And I don't want it to be. There's good things that came out this year.
That's why it also won Best Movie.
Oh, dude, it just dominated. I didn't want it to dominate. But it did, because it does. It deserves to.
It does.
Like, all these people next year who are going to be like, if Spider-Man is just Marvel Shield, you just don't like all the bullshit everybody likes. Fuck you, people. It was genuinely really that fucking good.
Yep. Yep.
And on that bombshell.
What, the big surprising bombshell that No Way Home won everything because it's really good.
That Spider-Man was actually good. Holy shit, because that's what's going to happen next year, isn't it? Across the Spider-Verse just going to win everything. It's going to outdo them all.
Probably.
Fuck, man. I can't escape it, man.
I'm okay with it. It's a good time to be a Spider-Man fan, and he's my favorite superhero.
Because Invincible was just what if Spider-Man was Superman, and it's like that's good.
You know they're doing an animated Spider-Man series about his early days as Spider-Man in the MCU.
Okay, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, yeah.
Like they're gonna do the Uncle Ben bit. They're gonna do finding out.
Ned found out in
the movies. Yeah. So it's like him keeping it a secret from Ned.
Yes, and him bullying Ned, I assume.
Now Ned getting bullied by Flash Thompson and him standing up for him, and then Flash punches him and he breaks his camera, and then like the lizard shows. Wait a minute.
And Flash breaks his hand trying to punch Peter. That Flash is gonna hurt himself. He's a modern bully. He bullies with words. He hurts because
when you say penis,
sticks and stones may break your bones, but chains and whips excite me. What?
Jesus Christ, on that bombshell, we're ending this episode.
That's the saying, right?
No! It is, but no.
Cal, let me go home.
Oh, sorry, I say the thing, don't I?
Tweet us at Video Show Pod.
See you, nerds.